Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 602, Overtuned, recorded live on November 1st, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to another wonderful episode of Podtacular. More giveaways, more info about Halo 5 updates, and we're actually on the tail end of Halo 5's second year anniversary. So as of October 27th, which was last week, Halo 5 turned 2 years old.
Yay!
Happy anniversary, Halo 5. It's been a great couple of years, and we got even more stuff that's changing, which we'll talk about tonight. The big weapon tuning update. I guess this is technically the second big batch of weapon tuning.
Yeah, I believe so.
So we'll be going through that. Yeah, good one, Laird. For those not in the Mixer chat tonight, Laird saying Halo 5 anniversary confirmed, which was kind of a joke that was played in the latest community update by Grimm. But yeah, too early for Halo 5 anniversary. Heck, we didn't even get Halo 3 anniversary, so I doubt there's a Halo 5 anniversary even in thought.
Yeah, well, at least not for another 8 years.
I guess we'll see. Maybe they'll have to re-anniversary Halo 1 and 2.
Oh, God.
At that point, just scratch the whole game. Just scratch the whole game.
They'll be doing 10K updates to it.
Oh, gosh. If we even have that. Well, I don't know.
What do you mean, if we have it? They already have it. It's just not practical for anybody to buy because the camera itself costs like $500,000.
I think at some point, though, you just don't need that much resolution anymore.
You don't need 4K.
The next biggest thing I think is going to be the immersive. Well, yeah. 4K is on that threshold of like, all right, now we're starting to get into that area where your return on investment is not quite there. I mean, I can understand like a 10K if you're using maybe like a 120-inch screen or something like that. So if you have a 10K projector and you're projecting on a giant surface, makes sense. But like for a consumer grade 70-inch TV, you can't even tell. You can't even see the pixels. Even if you get up close to it, you can barely see the pixels at 10K.
Yeah, well, you know, why do people use 350-inch 4K TVs as monitors? What's the point? I mean, you know, honestly, yeah, if you are into Photoshop or video editing, okay, I could see it. Because you would have much better color distinction.
Yes.
You know, I just don't see it.
Laird says because he can.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest reason. That is. For anybody that...
It's like the Lamborghini of TVs.
Yeah. They use the excuse, but it has such a better picture. I want the better picture. No, you want it just because it's there. And it's the latest and greatest thing. I mean, I have three 1080p monitors. They work just fine. I sit less than a foot away from them. I don't need 4K monitors.
I mean, I've got one.
I probably will update one of my monitors to take advantage of the FreeSync that the Xbox One X is going to support.
That's AMD, right?
Yeah, that's AMD.
I guess my monitor technically supports FreeSync. I think it does.
Yeah, that, you know, that's the only reason I would replace one of my monitors, is so that it would support FreeSync.
That makes sense.
Because that just helps with overall, not picture detail, just picture quality. Especially when you're, you know, in the middle of a firefight, it helps with just the clarity of the screen.
For me, because I have a 4K and I've used it to play Halo Wars 2 and Halo 5 PC. But in addition to that, it's nice to have a whole bunch of windows open at the same time, too.
I do that now.
Yeah, but 1080 runs out of space really quick.
I can put four windows on my monitors and read them just fine.
But what if you have like 8 or 9 or 10 windows?
That's why I have three monitors.
Well, okay.
I mean, if you really wanted to go to that argument, I would have three 50-inch TVs, three 50-inch 4K TVs as monitors, running two Titan X, what was the two 1080 Ti's to drive all of them. I don't want 10 grand worth of video stuff sitting on my desk. I don't have a call for it. I mean, I actually have too much money invested in what I've got.
A lot of that investment money for me is going to be somewhat restricted after getting married and having to pay for houses and bills and taxes and all that fun stuff. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Welcome to my life.
Yeah. Well, and you've got some other car issues, which did you get the, weren't you working on getting something this past week done?
Yeah, I was working on it. Didn't get it done.
Uh-oh. Winter is coming. Better get it done quick.
Yes. Yes, I know. They actually had light snow to the north of us today.
Oh, wow.
Not extremely close, but close enough.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yes, I know. It's
coming. So tonight we are continuing our giveaway, and tonight we are doing this, the UNSC Cobra Clash Mega Block set. And as someone on Twitter did ask us, yes, it does lock down.
Yeah, it's called super glue. Oh.
That's funny. For those that are not listening to us live, we are giving away one item every podcast live show from here until the end of the year. So that puts us at another
six shows probably.
Well, yeah, depending on holiday schedules and everything. So anywhere between 6 and 8 shows.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have one the week of Thanksgiving, depending on your schedule.
So I'll be here. I was planning on doing a Thanksgiving one if you're available.
Well, I probably will be. Christmas is a definite no.
Well, actually, I'll be back.
Are you sure?
Tuesday. Yeah. Coming back on Tuesday. Coming back on Boxing
Unlike
Day.
Unlike your trip from L.A.?
No, not doing that again.
The trip from hell. Oh.
Well, and then there was the one from Austin, which me and my now fiance, girlfriend at the time, got delayed today because of the FAA building getting on fire.
All kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, hopefully there's not any kinds of those complications coming back from the holidays. But looking at it, I actually don't think I'll have to take off any week from podcasts.
Well, I've got no plans to go anywhere.
All right, so we'll plan on doing shows. And yeah, Pins, I'm also working the day after Thanksgiving. I only get Thursday off, but we'll probably get a half day on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we'll be closed Thanksgiving. We'll work a full day the day before, and of course we'll have to be there the day after. Or no, wait a minute. Yeah, we'll have to be there the day after. I didn't remember what day it was on.
Gotcha.
We'll be closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but I'll have to be there the day after Christmas. Regular hours.
Nice.
And you know, I expect to be so busy that I'm taking my laptop with me.
Dang.
I kinda wish I had my laptop today.
Oh no.
I'd have been playing some Halo Wars.
Ah. That's actually probably a pretty good time to do it if you're going to have, I guess, a low flux of customers coming through.
Yeah, it was definitely a low customer count today.
Pins, what would he play his Xbox on?
Yeah, I'm not taking my Xbox there. I mean, I have a monitor I could hook it up to and play it, but I'm not going to take my Xbox there.
I don't think I would either. Anyways, Halo news, since that's what we're here to talk about today. We have the stream that Sketch and Quinn did earlier today, and they went over in detail some of the weapon changes, and there's supposed to be another post coming out on the Waypoint blog later tonight, as of this recording, it isn't out yet, that reviews all the stuff that they talked about, but I took some notes, so we'll go over that. Unfortunately, there was one weapon I missed because I got to the stream late, but I got some other notes that we can talk through. And then there's some more information about the update, in particular, not regarding the weapons that they released in the latest community update. There's some maps and modes that they curated from the community for Halloween. And I know we're past Halloween at this point, or Halloween, as we like to call it. But there's some cool maps and modes that I picked out a couple of my favorites and just looking at them. And then there is a couple of other release things that came out from the product perspective that we'll go over as well. So let's go ahead and jump into some of the weapon changes that they talked about earlier today. The first one that I have written down is the assault rifle. In the stream, you could actually see a visible difference in the reticle. The quadrant circles on the outside are actually brought in closer to the reticle. So the spread is now reduced, but the auto aim magnetism has been reduced. The amount in which you have the magnetism for auto aim isn't as effective. The damage per bullet was reduced about 23%. You have an increased firing rate by about 5%, and then the headshot bonus damage has been increased as well. They also said time to kill from the current version to the new version was about 1.1 seconds for all headshots to 1.4 seconds, and then all body shots was from 1.5 seconds to 1.9. So it's a little longer time to kill. With the bullet spread pulling in, though, you can still put some suppressing fire on from a distance. But they kind of counterbalance that by reducing the bullet damage. To me, this sounds like almost a completely different weapon than
pretty much
stock AR. From the testing, I know the AR is probably one of the more used weapons throughout the whole Halo 5 multiplayer experience. And I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to change, because I haven't had the chance to play too much of the new settings. I didn't get to play the weapon tuning playlist too much. I think I maybe had 3 games at the most in it. But the fact that it's a slower time to kill, I don't know if they're trying to... I don't think they're doing this, but it almost feels that way. They're trying to make you go out and get a different weapon. It kind of is almost like back to the Halo 3 days, where if you started with an AR, you're trying to find the closest BR or different weapon as early as you can.
Well, I mean, for me, in Halo 3, I would hang on to the AR. I would drop the pistol, because the pistol was worthless if we had an AR pistol start. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. And, you know, first thing I'd do is try to find myself a DMR. The way it looks like the AR is still going to be effective. It's just going to be effective in a different range set. It looks like it's going to pull the range in a little bit, because they increased the firing rate by 5%, but they reduced it by 23%. So that means you've got to hit every shot to get that quick kill time. So you're not going to be trying to use it, you know, halfway across the map. You're going to be in that range where they want the AR. You know, they want that AR in the close to mid range.
So I don't know if anyone else has a time to kill rate for the BR or the SMG handy. I would assume not. But the only thing I'm worried about is because of the damage reduction and because of how much longer the time to kill is. I mean, 0.4 seconds is a significant amount of time when it comes to first-person shooters. The one thing I'm worried about is how does that compare up to some of the other weapons that are in the sandbox already? I do agree that the AR is too effective at mid-range, and it does prove to be a little more of a power weapon compared to the BR, the DMR, and some other weapons up close where maybe it, or I guess mid-range where maybe it shouldn't be as much. So I can definitely see them reducing the damage of the bullets and then increasing the fire rate to kind of accommodate that. I'm guessing through all the testing, it's a balance. It almost seems a little too much to me. I would have to, again, play it and see how I feel about it.
What actually gets me is the fact that they tightened up the reticle. You know, I almost expected them to, you know, increase the spread a little bit.
I think if you increased the spread, though, it would have made it too much of a closer range weapon. And it almost seems like they want that to be a suppression at long range and then a more effective weapon at that medium close range. Because if you're going to spread it out, you might as well make the firing rate as fast as the Halo 1 AR. That spray and pray of a machine.
Honestly, the one thing I wish they would not do is give weapons a random spread. Because, well, I mean, for one, in real life, very few weapons have just a random spread. You know, it's always influenced by the shooter. The natural spread of a weapon is usually, you know, vertical and to the left or vertical and to the right. So I would like to see them implement something like that to where the more skilled players can learn to compensate for that and still be effective with the weapon.
I almost feel that's what they kind of did with bringing the spread in more. I feel like that's what they did.
Well, you know, coming back to it, you know, what I would say is, you know, as far as the long range, the suppression side of the AR, I would say, you know, if you were not to bring in the reticle, but just give it some type of recoil pattern, you know, a repeatable recoil pattern, then it makes the weapon harder to use at that range. Because the further out you go, the more that recoil would affect your next shot. And I think it would do the same thing as, you know, bullet spread without making the weapon inaccurate. But like the Halo 1, automatic weapons, doesn't pick one. It doesn't matter which one. You fire at the wall. What do the bullets do? They'll go left, right, down, up, left, up, down, left, up. You know, they just go all over the place. There's no predictable pattern. If they would change that to where it had a predictable pattern, you know, you would still, you know, a skilled player could still use it for suppression fire and still get kills at an increased range, let's put it that way. But it would, the further the target is away from you, the harder that shot is to make. I think that would do a better job of keeping the AR in that mid to short range than what they've done. Now, you know, I haven't played with it yet, so I don't know for sure. I mean, this is a good step. We'll just see how it works out. Because it just seems to me having that tighter group pattern at a longer range, you're still going to be in that, you know, still have that problem where the assault rifle is the one thing is still on that power weapon level.
But I think the randomness helps with that, because I don't know of any game where you have a spread like that, that it's a predictable spread. The only thing that's predictable is the recoil.
Well, recoil is spread. I mean, the recoil of a rifle is what gives you the spread in real life.
In real life, yeah, but in order to compensate that for a video game, it's a little bit...
But an automatic weapon will travel in one direction. I mean, you know, there'll be a little bit left to right, but not like they have in... Not the way they have it set up in Halo 5. It's a minor point, but... We'll see how this works out, and hopefully it does what they want it to.
Yeah. Next one is the battle rifle. The things they changed for that one is they increased the rate of fire by 50%. The red reticle range has been reduced. The recoil has been reduced. No damage changes to the bullets. So the duration between each successive bullet in a 3-round burst has been increased or made longer. One of the things that they talked about during the stream was because of how quickly the bullets came out, the hit markers almost look like one long hit marker. They were just too rapid to each other, and it was almost what they were seeing. It was almost like it was just one bullet. So they increased the range of that spread between the first bullet and the last bullet, or each successive bullet, to where those hit markers are distinctive and the time between the bullets are 50% longer. Overall, I don't think it's a bad change. I think the red reticle range reduction is trying to help bring that down to more of that mid-range tier and to help set apart the AR, the BR, and the DMR. So that makes sense. The rate of fire is going to be, I think, a little bit more forcing people to be a little more skilled with the placement of their shots, which I think is a good thing. I personally don't see anything that would be detrimental to this change.
I've already seen a couple people mention on Twitter they still feel it's overpowered.
It could very well be, but it's not as overpowered, I guess. I mean, you can only do so much, I think, because without making the spread, I think the only other thing you could do is make the spread of the bullets a little bit wider and make the damage per bullet maybe a tad less. So maybe instead of, I think it's, is it 10 BR shots or 11 BR shots that you have to get?
If I remember right, it's 4 bursts.
Yeah, but is it on the 10th, 11th, or 12th bullet into the head that you actually get the kill? I thought it was 11. So maybe you could reduce the damage to where all 12 shots have to connect. And maybe it wouldn't be as effective. That's the only other things I could see change. But other than that, that's a hard weapon to balance. And on the pro level, they're so good at aiming anyways. It probably won't make a difference too much with the red reticle range. So that's the battle rifle.
Well, red reticle range does help with the bullet spread. It keeps the bullets on target longer than if you are not. You know, if you don't have that reticle stuck on the opponent, you get more spread out of the bullets.
On the pro level, though, I think that's something that they'll get accustomed to it within a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, they probably already are. You know, I don't think it's going to change their shot. I don't think it's going to affect their shot as much as it's going to affect pretty much everybody else's.
All the peons like us. Next one is the beam rifle. The only change that they did here was to reduce the aim assist when unzoomed to match that of the UNSC sniper rifle. Not much to discuss there.
No. It was a definite needed change, that's for sure.
Snapshots were so easy with that weapon. That was my favorite weapon to get snapshots with. Even in campaign or Warzone. It just felt like a magic weapon. As far as all the snipers go.
Well, the beam rifle always has. You know, it's always had that ease of use when it comes to getting no scopes or snapshots.
It even feels like it's, for me, been that way since Halo 2.
Yeah, like I said, the beam rifle has always been that way. I've always preferred the beam rifle over the UNSC sniper rifle.
So have I. And you don't have to reload.
That is a bonus, too. But the downside is you can't pick up ammo. You have to find another rifle.
True. Next one is the carbine, or the carbine, as they were joking in the stream. The things that they changed here is basically the spread from the hip has been increased.
That makes sense, actually. The carbine from the hip is, it's been
kind of overpowered.
Extremely accurate.
Yeah, a little bit. Junus, we're not denying that the sniper rifle sounds great. It's just from a utility perspective, we both like the beam rifle better. I mean, yes, the sniper rifle does have an epic sound.
I don't know. The beam rifle Delta has pretty cool sound.
That's true.
Especially when you're close enough to hear the vortex, but...
I was just thinking the stock beam rifle and sniper rifle. The Delta, and I guess the Alpha a little bit too. Those beam rifles are kind of crazy. Next up on the list is the DMR. They didn't change the reticle range, so it's still keeping it out there compared to the range that they brought in on the battle rifle and the assault rifle. So they did not have the or feel the need to extend that or make it longer. They increased the rate of fire slightly on the DMR. They left the damage unchanged. It's still a two-shot beatdown kill. So still pretty quick to take down people, even at close range. But that magnetism is still pretty weak at close range. You still get the advantage of the long range with the reticle, red reticle. Overall, I don't think this is going to be changing too much of how I use the DMR. Although I will say I was playing SWAT last night because I was trying to sneak in my rank for the season. And there were three matches I had DMRs and I was going to town with the DMR, and I usually don't.
Yeah, actually, Friday we played some SWAT, and like the first, I think the first two games they were DMR SWAT. I was doing really well.
Nice. I have my on days and I have my off days.
Just well, usually my on days are my off days as well.
You have on game and off games?
I had two good games and then the rest were crap.
Sorry to hear that. I love BR SWAT pins because I can swipe shoot. I don't know how effective that's going to be with the new BR, but swipe shooting makes it so much easier to get kills. Shotgun SWAT would be interesting.
Actually, I like SWAT with the pistols. The CE and or the just the standard pistol.
See, I could never get into pistol SWAT. I just can't. I mean, there are some times when I'm on my game, but usually with the pistols or the magnums, I'm not there. I'm just not there. I think if I had to rank my favorite ones, it would be Halo 5 BR, Halo 2 BR, DMR, and then I'm not sure which one I'd like more, either Magnum or Halo CE pistol.
Of the two, I like the CE pistol better. Probably my top would just be the standard BR SWAT, but I still enjoy, I still enjoy the others as well.
The one positive I find in the Halo CE pistol is the classic death animation where you have the body spin halfway around and drop. I really love that animation. I wish they had it for more weapons, but it's really cool that they have it for the classic, because that death animation to me is one of the coolest in Halo.
It's a classic one, that's for sure.
Definitely is. Next weapon on the list is the energy sword. They did something really interesting with this. So they have two different versions of the base energy sword now. They have one that they're going to keep for the rest of the experience outside of arena multiplayer, which has the increased speed boost on it. But they're going to have a separate sword for arena multiplayer that's called the Relic Sword. And that has no speed boost, but it's more responsive whenever you pick up the weapon or you switch to it. You can slash quicker. It's something that you can pull into Forge and custom games, but as far as your Warzone experience and your campaign experience, the old energy sword or the current energy sword is going to be there. And then for a certain arena multiplayer playlists, the Relic Sword is going to be the new one.
Cool. I wondered how they were going to handle that.
Which I think I haven't played it or haven't played with it to know, but I almost think I'm going to be more of a fan of the Relic Sword, because there have been some instances where I pull out a sword and it's like, why can't I swing yet? I should be able to just slash this person. So again, it's almost kind of going back to Halo 2. There's seems like there's a lot of moves to Halo 2 balancing for some of these weapons, it seems. But I almost think I would like having, or there, it's kind of a give and take, because I think I would like to have that ability to quick switch out slash and then switch it back really quick. There are some maps where I can find that speed boost is more usable, but I think having that quicker slash to an extent is more usable. Because if you think about it, if you have headphones on, if you have radar, if you're running with a sword, people are going to see you on radar and have a chance to dodge, or they're going to hear you and know you're coming and try to get out of the way. Granted, you have an element of surprise in that lunge can be ridiculously long.
You know, for as many, you know, as you say that, for as many people as I kill with a sword, there's a lot of them not paying attention.
Fair point.
I mean, in Fiesta, I regularly, whenever I get a sword, I regularly go on a killing spree with a sword, and not, you know, just the base sword, you know, not Prophet's Bane or Raven or any of the, just the standard energy sword.
I guess we'll have to see how it turns out with the relic sword. It doesn't look any different. It's the same classic look of the energy sword. It's just called a relic sword instead. It would have been cool if they tinted it a different color, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Maybe make it more purple or red or yellow or maybe a darker blue or something like that. Or maybe white. Something to differentiate a little bit.
You know, I would like to see him maybe shift it more into the blue color, you know, further away from the standard sword.
Is there a red sword? I don't think there is.
Which yeah, there's is a that? Red sword.
Because green's infected. Oh, Halo 2 Anniversary. There's a red sword. But wait, that's not in Halo 5, though.
No.
So I don't know if there's a red sword in Halo 5 yet.
No, you have the regular sword, which is kind of a white-blue. Then you have Raven's, which is kind of a goldish color. And then you have Prophet's Bane, which is a
yellow,
almost an orange. And then you have the infected sword,
which is green. So yeah, you don't have a red in Halo 5. So you could almost make it pinkish, reddish, maybe the same kind of brightness and saturation.
I would probably still leave it similar to the standard sword. Just, you know, more of a blue or maybe into the yellow range, something between a regular sword and a raven. Yeah, a teal would probably work. Just, you know, so that when you're on the map, you can realize, oh, this is not the normal sword.
Yes. That's basically what I was going for, is helping to differentiate between the classic sword and the new sword, the relic sword.
And that's, you know, that's more for, you know, customs than anything.
And you can have both swords in the map.
Right. In Arena, you know which sword it's going to be. It's going to be the relic sword. You know, they've stated that it's going to be in multiplayer only. But, you know, if people start using it in custom, you know, custom maps and things like that, it would be nice to have a easy way to differentiate it.
Just a little different color. That's all we're asking for. That's it. Next up is the frag grenade. So I have a little bit of an issue with this one, just from the demo that they had during the stream. And maybe it was just a fluke or something. I'm not sure. But supposedly, the damage radius has been reduced by 25% to more match what the explosion looks like, which makes sense. The demo that they did was them throwing a grenade at a person, and granted, they didn't line it up every time compared to the current build compared to the new build with the new weapons. They did another one where it was trying to do damage that was self-inflicting, and it seemed like that was a difference, but it almost seemed like the damage against an enemy was different. So supposedly it's supposed to be a damage radius reduction of 25%. It looked like whenever they were trying to show it off, it did do that for self-inflicting damage. As far as enemy damage, it seemed a little off. I don't know if anyone else has seen the stream, and it should be a VOD that you can go back and check on either Twitch and or Mixer or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to hold my comments on that one until I actually play a game with it. Because...
dang pineapples.
You know, the one thing that I've always... I never really had a problem with the amount of damage that the frag grenade did in Halo 5. It's just the sheer kill radius for it. You know, I'll be full health, and I'll see a frag grenade go whizzing past my head and fall well behind me, and next thing you know, it explodes and I'm dead.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Next one is the fuel rod cannon. The blast radius has been reduced, and the projectile moves a little bit slower through the air by about 6%. Which,
that's a good move.
They've hinted at in the past few updates and things where they've mentioned the weapon tuning that the blast radius was going to be reduced, so there wouldn't be as many suicides with the weapon, and where it's a little more tactical when you're actually trying to hit another Spartan or target. So the reduced blast radius makes it to where you have to be a little more accurate with your shots, and it helps reduce the chance that you might kill yourself, which are all good things.
The one thing that also tells me is that you're probably going to have to try to aim for more of a hit than just killing people with splash damage.
Which I think is a good move.
Yeah, but the rocket launcher, you kill with splash damage. You don't actually try to hit the people. That, you know, that's another one. I'm going to have to play with it to really know if I agree with the change or not.
You do make a good point, though. I didn't think about that until you said it, but there, I think one of the things is because of how rapid fire...
I understand wanting to differentiate the weapons from each other, but when they're filling the same role, it seems like they should react similarly.
For the fuel rod, though, I think because, and this is just, I'm kind of pulling from the hip here and guessing, but the fuel rod fires faster than the rocket launcher, or at least the base ones of them do.
Oh, yeah, I have no problem with the slowing the projectiles down. That is something I've always thought they needed to do. And don't get me wrong, the blast radius is nice, so maybe you won't accidentally kill yourself, but usually, every time I kill myself, I'm well within the blast radius when I die.
Well, and another important thing to note is it's blast radius, it's not splash damage.
Yeah, well...
so you're still getting damage when you're in range, it's just that blast radius has been reduced.
And the blast radius... the blast radius determines how far out that splash damage goes.
Right.
So if you make the blast radius smaller, that means you have to get the projectile closer to the person to get the splash damage to actually kill them. So you have to be more accurate with it.
But most of the time when I'm shooting someone with a rocket, if I'm killing them with one shot, it's usually within 5 feet of where they are. Fuel rod, I'm kind of just splashing all around everywhere.
Like I said, I think overall it should be a decent change. Definitely the slower fire rate. The blast radius, I'll have to wait and see.
Next one is the grenade launcher. They made it to where whenever you're in red reticle, there's less of a curve for the grenade, and I didn't realize that there was such a curve to begin with. For the current grenade launcher, if you are red reticle and the person that you're shooting at is a little off to the one side or the other, the projectile basically goes straight towards the person. If for the new one, if you're red reticle and they're not straight in front of you, it kind of curves a little bit but doesn't go straight at them. So that's something that they changed. The travel speed has been slowed by 30%, so you have to have more of an arc on your projectiles if you're trying to go long distance. And then the blast radius was reduced, which
Well, there goes all my kills.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. That was one of those things where that's kind of the point of a grenade launcher.
Well, it kind of all depends on the, you know, the one thing I have to say is I don't know what the blast radius is of the grenade launcher compared to a regular grenade. If the blast radius on the grenade launcher is larger than a standard grenade, then it probably needs to be reduced.
But I don't feel it was that way to begin with.
See, I can't maybe say it was. Because I was, whenever I was using it, I never saw my target when I killed them. You know, unless I happened to, you know, be shooting directly at them, and that, you know, usually entails that the grenade hit them in the chest. So, you know, I can't really judge it from that way. Whenever I'm using that, I'm usually firing it across map through doorways, hoping to get a kill.
And bouncing it off corners, especially in Warzone.
And, you know, unless I happen to have a pro pipe, and then, yeah, I will actually try to hit people with it.
Next one is the Gunfighter Magnum. They've made this to where it is faster to equip, reload, and zoom in. So similar to the energy sword, whenever you're picking it up or whenever you're switching to it, you pull it out faster and you can use it more quickly. The red reticle range was reduced and the recoil on the Magnum was also reduced. Or sorry, no, it changes. Wasn't reduced. It was they introduced more recoil into it. Sorry. So you still have the fast trigger pull because that's one of the reasons why they have the Gunfighter Magnum, but they increase the recoil. And on the stream, it was pretty significant because you could empty a whole clip and you'd be looking up by about 15 degrees or so, and then it would automatically come back down. That's how much recoil there was. This one, I'm not too privy on. I don't use the Gunfighter Magnum all too much.
Well, the only time I use it is occasionally in Warzone, so.
Same. The faster to equip, reload, and zoom makes sense to me. The red reticle range reduced kind of makes sense to me. The introduction of recoil, I could see that making sense, but then again, I haven't used it too much.
Well, I think they're trying to bring that Gunfighter Magnum into the area to compete with the AR. You know, they're wanting it to be a mid to short range weapon, but still capable of.
Okay, that makes sense.
At least defending against a DMR.
Next one we have is the Splinter Grenade. The thing that they changed here was the initial damage done by the explosion was reduced by, get this, 77%.
Yeah, I don't think that's enough.
It looked like it was... There definitely was a difference when they showed it in the stream. You can still get a one-hit kill with it if you, like, hit their body with it. You'll still get the kill from the other little popper things that come off of it. But 77%, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a pretty hefty reduction.
And I think everyone kind of agrees with that. No arguments there. Next one is the Railgun. They introduced a longer charge time and a longer hold time, basically making it to where you have to be a little more deliberate and planning with your railgun shots. Because of the longer charge time, they increased the hold time on the railgun too. I kind of see where they're coming from with this. I like the faster charge time personally because I love the railgun, but it makes sense. I could see why they're doing it.
The railgun, just the standard railgun, has always been kind of a challenging weapon for me. Learning where that line between hold and fire is, or fully charged and fire is always been a challenge for me. So I'll be interested to see how it feels to me. I like the fact that it has a longer hold time because the hold time did seem to be extremely short.
It kind of was, but I liked it. I wish there was a little more of visual feedback other than the reticle that gave you that indication of full charge. I know it's there, but to me it seems too subtle.
Like I said, you know, the simple ability to change the color of your reticle would be nice.
That too.
I mean, literally. A lot of the problems I have with weapons, if I could just change the color of the reticle, it would fix most of them.
Especially where they're overlaid on top of a weapon that has like a glowing or some other effect on it.
A certain other game that just launched on PC has that ability.
There have been plenty of other games that have come out with that ability too.
Well, I mean, just recently. Well, this is the first time I've played a game that's had that capability.
I got a game for you. It's called Counter-Strike.
No, I'm not going to play that.
I'm just saying it has the ability to modify reticle colors. And that game's been around for more than 10 years.
Yeah. You know, in this game, it is totally pointless because I don't use the reticle. Because most of the time, it's aiming down sights, which is a whole nother mechanic.
Maybe they'll, I don't know, it maybe more people just need to mention it, because it does seem something that would be beneficial, especially for people that are colorblind or something like that.
Well, I mean, they have the colorblind settings, which would affect it and change it, but I don't want to use them because of the fact that when I stream, my picture looks funny. And, you know, to people that aren't colorblind, it can be annoying.
Yeah, it can.
So, you know, I would just like to be able to change at least that element of the HUD, the color of the reticle.
And I don't see why they can't do that. Look at the campaign. You had several different colors in there.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's all preset. Yeah, you know, I don't know that it'd be that much harder to give it. So make the
presets available. I mean, you have, what is it, Kelly has yellow? So you could make a yellow preset. It's in there.
Yeah, just give us 4 or 5 HUDs to pick from.
Yeah. Fallout has 4. They have a green one, a blue one, a yellow one, and I believe a purple one. Oh, and a white one. So they have 5, sorry.
There you go. More customization. Give us multiple HUDs to choose from. And then you can put them in red packs and charge us $5 for them.
There you go. Last one that we have, minus the one I didn't get to listen to, is the SMG. There's a tighter grouping on the bullet spread, and the base bullet damage has been reduced.
I think I can get behind that change.
Me too. Because of the tighter grouping, I think the bullet reduction is needed. I don't remember if they said how much, but it is kind of a powerhouse compared to the AR, especially at close range, which I think it's supposed to be. But I think...
Yeah, but it's supposed to be, you know, the SMG is supposed to be that extreme close range to close range. So it's kind of bridging the gap between a shotgun and an AR. And it's, ever since the launch of Halo 5, it's been more in the AR than in the shotgun area. You know, there's been more overlap between the SMG and the AR.
Right. And I think this will put the SMG, I don't know, it's hard to kind of approximate the two, because I feel like even with the rapid fire as the SMG is, and you have the AR and the SMG that now have a tighter bullet spread, and the SMG has been reduced, so it almost seems like, I don't know, it still seems like the SMG would win out, even at kind of that mid-range where the...
It also is determined on how much they reduce the bullet damage. I mean, yes, the SMG has a much higher rate of fire, but if the bullets do a significantly less amount of damage, then it could be more of a battle between an AR and an SMG.
Fair point. I think it'll be another one of those cases where We just need to go in the game and feel it out for ourselves. Anyone that knows how to control the ammo of the weapons, though, I think will be able to use the SMG more effectively than they are.
Which will not be me.
But it will be me. All right, we're going to take a break here and do our giveaway, which we only have 4 people in the viewing list right now, so that'll make this easy.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Maybe not that easy. Let's go ahead. I want to make sure it's still 4. So going to do the handy-dandy random.org. First number to hit twice will get it. Get your pins masks on. Pins is actually in the chat tonight. So we'll see if he gets it. All right. And Pins, you're so close, but Bobby wins. Yay. Congratulations, Bobby. And I haven't sent you your other thing yet. No, actually, no, wait, I did that yesterday. Dang it. Should have waited.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Well, so congratulations, I mean, you know, Bobby. Bobby won last time. Shouldn't he be disqualified?
Because there's so few people, I don't know. Fake news. Well, let me ask you this, Bobby. Do you have it already? Do you have the set already? I have the sets that you won from months ago. What sets from months ago? I don't even remember that. I know you have the ones I just sent out. Oh, I gotcha. I've got another one that will be given away in a couple weeks anyway. So do you want it or not? If you don't want it, I'll give it away. But if you want it, I'm more than happy to give it to you.
I'm just messing with you, Bobby.
So we'll let him decide. But in the meantime,
crickets chirping.
Let's move on to some other news that we have to talk about. The latest patch is coming tomorrow, or Thursday, as of this recording, November 2nd. And here are some things that you can look forward to. 4K update, which means a huge download for Halo 5. Get your bandwidth ready. Oddball is going to be making an official appearance. Instead of the ball game type, it'll be its own self-contained game mode. And with that comes new medals, new announcer voices, and new commendations as well. You'll get Oddball and Oddball FFA available in Arena that will be replacing the Halo 3 Classic playlist. And then you can also have that in Customs. We're also getting the new team and country skins for the Magnums and Assault Rifles. There's some fixes, some new game options and Forge that they included as well. And the big thing, well, other than 4K, is the Halo 5 local server. So the update to Halo 5 is going to be available around noon Eastern time. And then there's some backend items that they're working on at about 4 Eastern. And that 5 Eastern is when Halo 5 local server will be available from the Windows Marketplace for download.
I'm going to have to download that just to mess with it. I have no use for it, but just play with it.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I think if I ever get around to having a LAN party before my bachelor party, then I'll use it. But other than that, I'm just going to mess around with it, see how it feels. I wish I had more people locally that liked Halo. So start a Halo church group.
Yeah, sure, there you go.
Go over well.
As long as you kept it clean.
Yeah. I mean, it's rated teen. At least Halo 5 is.
Believe me, I've seen church groups do worse.
Fair enough. That is the Halo 5 patch notes for what's going to be coming up. Oh, I guess we can read over some of the commendations. It's a short list. But there are new commendations for the Brute Plasma Rifle, Sentinel Beam, Gravity Hammer, Reach Grenade Launcher, Wasp Destroyer, Wasp Gunner, and Grunt Mech Slayer. Some new ball mode enhancements, some new default settings for respawns and customs, flag mode stuff, and then a number of fixes. mostly related to what looks like Join in Progress and a few map specific issues.
Yeah, I hope they work on Join in Progress.
At least it's not as bad as Master Chief Collection?
I don't know. It seems like in Halo 5, I get a lot of matches I join in progress, and it's 49-3 with 2 minutes left in the game. It just seems to happen more often than not.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, moving on to the latest community update. We got a couple of things to pull out from there that we haven't discussed already, some of which has already been done, but we have the Stream of the Dead, which was a community playdate that 343 did yesterday to celebrate Halloween, and they did an Infection playlist game night. So you had the chance to go play with 343, then yay, I was out watching Boo 2, which was a mediocre movie. The first one was better. I was going with my fiance and her girlfriends, so it was all right, though. See, they have a little debrief in here about the fall finals for the U.S., or I guess North American. Well, it wasn't even North American, because there was a Europe team there as well. So the fall finals for the Halo Championship Series Pro League. They also had a little video about Halo 3 back compat having 4K content for the Xbox One X. There is a little blurb in there about the third issue, which was released 2 weeks ago, of Rise of Atriox. And then a few other smaller things, such as the Relief and Recovery Rec Pack generating $220,000, which is quite impressive. So, way to go, Halo community. They mentioned the Overtime update, Oddball replacing the Halo 3 Classic Throwback playlist. And the community spotlight is actually on the pig that Ollie, or Olive, was inspired out of. So I didn't know this. I don't know if you knew this, GT, or anyone else in the chat here, but apparently Tom French actually has a pet pig.
No, I can't say that I knew that.
And that pig was the inspiration for the pig toy in Halo 5.
Well, at least we know where it came from now.
And they did a little blurb about the pig. So you can read up on that in the Repeat Revolution Halo update. There's some really cool community artwork that's done as well. The one that's up there is of the Arbiter, which looks really, really cool. Did you get a chance to see this, GT?
No, I did not.
When you scroll down to it, take a look at it, because it's pretty amazing. There's also some screenshots, mostly highlighting breast cancer awareness. And that's going to be it for this update. The only other thing that we have to go through is the Spooky Fest, which was a compilation of community-made maps and modes for the Halloween experience. Oh, thanks, Bobby. Apparently, the thing I missed was active camo.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, Hide and Seek Town's back.
I know the thing they were working on that, at least through what they mentioned before, was having the active camo be more effective. So, making it to where it was actually a little more difficult to see. Oh, and thanks, Bobby, but the weapon tuning update was actually posted 31 minutes ago. So, I'll go pull the active camo thing from there. They increased the invisibility effect, making players a little bit harder to see using active camo. And that's about it.
I'll be looking forward to that one.
I think it's a good change. All right, back to Spooky Fest. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just always nice when your active camo actually is camouflage.
So the collection of infection modes and games in here is actually pretty cool. Now, granted, I haven't played any of these. I'm just going off of the descriptions. But there are some really, again, blown away by talented forgers and game makers in here. So I'm going to start off with the classic. It's a little bit near the bottom, but Hide and Seek Town, which is kind of a recreation of Hide and Seek that was done in Foundry on Halo 3. And it's your typical hide and seek.
They actually did a really good job of recreating it, too.
Yeah, they even have the crane in the ceiling. It's basically Foundry forged and then Hide and Seek forged within that. I remember this, too.
I've spent many hours on that map.
Mm-hmm. As did I. And you always try to find those nooks and have people double jump you up to areas so you could hide. And then it's like, well, sorry, but you're going to have to run around and you're going to be our sacrificial lamb.
You're stuck now.
Yeah. So that's the first one that really stuck out to me. The next one that kind of caught my eye was 8 Pages, which is a flashback to Slenderman. Not flashback, but homage. That's what I'm looking for. To Slenderman. So the description is, find the 8 pages before the office zombie gets you. Slenderman. Pretty much. The next one that caught my eye was the fun house. So you're going through kind of a colorful maze and other distractions and whatnot before you get killed by the alpha zombie. A couple other ones on here are just really, really good aesthetically and overall really cool. So one of them, the first one actually is called Blind Light, and you actually have to protect this orb, which is kind of going through a dungeonous maze. So check out the list. I know we're past Halloween at this point. Those were the three that kind of stuck out to me as being really good potentials that I would want to play. Not to say that the other ones wouldn't be, but I haven't had a chance to play any of them, so.
I don't know, the Mantis one looks kind of fun.
It does. The other ones kind of stuck out to me more, I guess. But yeah, the Mantis one does look fun. You're basically a mouse in a maze being a Spartan, and then you're getting trampled on by a Mantis.
Too bad they don't. What's the big Mantis in Halo Wars? The Colossus.
Yeah,
oh, there okay. You go.
Too bad they don't have that in Halo 5. Then you really would feel like a mouse.
Yeah, that you would. All right, that's all for the Halo Waypoint specific stuff that we have. Again, the weapon tuning article is actually up there, so all the details, including all the numbers, have been included up on there, so make sure you go check that out. It has a little more detail than what we provided in the show, and a lot more reasons behind certain things that they did. Definitely check it out. It's the latest thing up on the blog. It's just called Weapon Tuning Update, and you'll find it by Sketch. There's a couple of other things for us to mention. First thing is Halo, the complete video collection, is now out. It is a collection of what they're calling movies, but really it's 2 movies and 2 series, I guess. It's Ford Unto Dawn, which in my opinion is the best. Nightfall, the Halo Legends anime set, and then Halo Fall of Reach, which was also the animation style.
I don't know.
What?
Ford Unto Dawn and Legends, it's a toss-up for me.
It's close, but...
I mean, definitely for live-action, Ford Unto Dawn, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for overall quality, they're pretty close in my eyes.
Fair point. I personally like Ford Unto Dawn better, but that's just me, and that's fine.
I'm definitely looking forward to the bonuses.
Me too. The behind the scenes, the extra content, and one of the things I thought was weird, and I don't know if this is intentional because they have this kind of bonus features in there or not, but they had cutscenes from Halo 2 Anniversary and Halo Wars in their teaser trailer.
Yeah, I noticed that. I'm not exactly sure why they have that, but...
I mean, I have it because I pre-ordered it on Amazon, so this is it. But I don't know what kind of extra stuff on here. I mean, they have a little bit of stuff on here. They have some of the Vidocs on here, which you can find on Waypoint or their YouTube channel. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to pop this sucker in and see what's on here. Over 9 hours of galaxy-spanning action on 6 discs. Over 9 hours. It's a lot of time. So it's available on Blu-ray and DVD. You can head on over to podtackler.com/halo-cvc to get a link to the complete video collection. And right now, I believe it's going for $27.99 for Blu-ray. And why is my link not working? There we go.
It's like $29.29 for DVD.
Which is weird because usually the DVD is...
cheaper.
Significantly cheaper. Actually, wait, what? Okay. Amazon is saying the DVD is $29.93 and the Blu-ray is $27.99. I don't know how that happened.
Like I said, I guess Blu-ray's gotten more popular than DVD?
I guess DVD's more rare? I don't know. And apparently the DVD is not coming out until November 28th. But the Blu-ray is available, and apparently it's cheaper. So if you have a Blu-ray player, which is your Xbox One, then, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if you play Halo 5, you have a Blu-ray player.
Exactly. Well, unless you play it on PC for Halo 5 Forge. The other okay. community thing that we have is the latest Loot Crate Icons figure has been revealed. So we knew the theme was going to be The Great Journey, which is Halo 3 themed. And pre-orders for that are now available since the last crate got shipped out a couple weeks ago. It's available to order by December 15th. At 9 p.m. Pacific time, which would be December 16th at midnight. And the Icons figure is kind of a show back to the Bubble Shield trailer for Halo 3. I forget what the name of that. Oh, Starry Night, where Master Chief throws down the Bubble Shield and it has kind of a dissolving Bubble Shield. And I have to say, this is probably one of my favorite figures now out of the lot, just by the picture.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So that is up on Loot Crate. You can get the Loot Crate going to podtackler.com/lootcrate, and then you can get $3 off your crate by going or by putting the code podtackler in at checkout. So make sure you do that. A little update on some PodTackler stuff. So I mentioned during our 600th episode that we will be starting to put videos on YouTube, that is our podcast. And I'm happy to say that we currently have 12 rendered out. We're currently trying to get all the way through episode 158 by the end of the year, which is what I dubbed the first season, or the time that Fumo was the host of the show. And we'll be actually publishing those starting sometime this weekend. So by the end of this weekend, you'll probably see at least the first 15, if not the first 20 episodes up on our YouTube channel. We'll be targeting 2 to 3 episodes per day. They're not going to be coming out every day, but that's kind of how we're trying to manage it. Unfortunately, the effect I'm using in After Effects is a CPU non-threaded effect. So I can't actually do multiple, or it's not multi-threaded, and I can only have one instance of After Effects rendering a job. So unfortunately, my render time is limited and I can't really make it go any faster. I'm getting them out as quickly, or getting them rendered as quickly as I can, not publishing them necessarily. I'm even leaving my computer on overnight to render them. But they will be getting posted here. At least the first set will be up by this weekend. And then the other thing is we actually have a Halo CE server now.
Do you finally got it set up?
I finally got one set up. You know why? Because I took an Azure training class and I have $100 of Azure credit to use.
Nice.
The server I have, so for those that don't know how Azure works, you actually do it on a subscription basis, which is kind of how a lot of gaming server services work. You pay a certain amount of money for usually a monthly uptime cost for a server. So I'm going to be using the Twitch subscriptions and PayPal donations that we haven't actually gotten one in a while to kind of fund those servers. And I'm just going to see how I can maintain that for a while. And they're not expensive. It's like $15 a month for the specific server resource that I'm using. So we're going to see how that goes. I have $100 of credit right now. And then if I sign on afterwards for the free Azure, it's $200 of credits. And again, it's Azure. So why not host it myself? Because I don't have a dedicated platform to host it with at the moment. Otherwise, I would. And I don't have quite the control over the network because I'm actually behind my roommate's router. So by the time I move, I might move it on to my own stuff. But for the time being, I have the credit to use, so I'm going to use it on Azure, and I'll just keep it up there for a little bit. And it's nice because it's on a dedicated platform that if my power goes out or my internet goes out, that doesn't go out. And it's in a data center, which has nice redundancies and all that fun stuff. You can find the Halo Vanilla or Halo Combat Evolved server up right now. It's called Potacular Infinity. And you can either find it via the server browser, or you can type in infinity.podtackler.com, and it's currently running on port 2303 or 2305. And it's easier just to find it through the server browser. But if you want to, infinity.podtackler.com will get you there. And eventually we'll have a page that will list all of our servers as well on the website, so you can get all of that as well. Trying to get a couple of different Halo Custom Edition multiplayer servers going as well. And we'll have probably 2 vanilla and 3 Custom Edition servers going. And trying to get a Halo 2 server going. Unfortunately, I'm running into an error that says update required, even though I have it patched to the latest update that I'm aware of. So I'm not exactly sure if...
Yeah, I've run into that. I've run into a Windows Live error.
So it's not saying Windows Live, and I've updated that. It's saying update required for the server. Or maybe it is live. I don't know. It just says offline update required. So I don't know. Maybe someone at 343 will know. I just got to check it out. So we're trying to get those set up, but there is one server that is currently running. It's Potacular Infinity. You can either find it through the game browser or the server browser on Halo Combat Evolved or infinity.potacular.com. I think it's port 2303 or 2305 right now. So yeah, we have a server now.
Cool.
How about that? Weren't expecting that, were you, GT?
No. It was just a pipe dream.
Dreams do come true. Miraculously.
Now we're going to have to see if we can raid Master's Vault for custom maps.
So they all should be up on halomaps.org.
Yeah, I know.
And a lot of that stuff I need to actually go through, because there's some maps that I think I have stored away somewhere. There's going to be one server that's going to be Chaos Server. Did you ever play the Chaos multiplayer maps, GT?
No, I did not.
Like Chaos Gulch or Chaos Canyon?
No. I have very little experience with Halo CE on PC as far as multiplayer.
They are ridiculously fun. For Junus is actually asking where you can get Halo CE for PC. You can get it on Amazon or a couple other places for pretty cheap. Usually you can find a copy for $10, something like that. And there's still plenty of copies everywhere. There is a couple of updates for our commendations. We are very close to getting our next 4th level done, which is Road Trip. We need another 786, I guess, splatters. And our next one that's level 5 that we're getting close to is the Ground Pound one, which we need another 730. Yeah, Bobby, I would do a special event night, and I would probably stream a Chaos night on a server. That'd be fun. And that will wrap it up for our show tonight. Big updates coming to Halo 5 tomorrow. Make sure you check out the weapon tuning update that got posted a few minutes ago as well. Halo 5 local server, Oddball, a whole lot of other good things coming our way, especially with the Halo 3 Xbox One X 4K update and then the 4K update that will be coming to Halo 5 Guardians as well. Oh, and there is an update coming for Halo Wars 2. I think it may have already hit, I'm not sure, but there's a Halo Wars 2 update coming for Xbox One X and 4K textures as well. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of thepodcast.com, which includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about those podcasts over at podka.st and let them know that we sent you. Also, make sure you check out our social media platforms. We are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, Mixer. We have an Xbox Club. We have our Spartan Company. We're on Instagram. We have a Discord server. All that fun stuff. So make sure you check us out. Just search for PodTackler wherever we are, and you'll find us. Latest update on Achieving Halo GT. Go.
Unfortunately, I was planning on doing some recording this weekend, but my plans have changed. Hello, Zombie Cast again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
If at all possible, I will put out a tweet Sunday if I get the opportunity to at least get one recorded. So keep an eye on my Twitter. You can find me at Godzilla Todd, and I'm sure Dust will retweet it on Podtacular. If I'm able to do it, I will try to put out as much warning as possible. But currently, it does not look like it's going to be happening.
Okay. Not a problem.
I apologize for the sporadic nature of these video recordings. Unfortunately, currently my life is chaos when it comes to free time. I have multiple projects in the fire and they all need to get done as in yesterday.
I know the feeling.
And of course, every time I seem to find some time to work on them, something else takes that time away.
Cause life sucks.
Cause you know, working 12 hours a day, coming home and putting another 3-4 hours into fixing a truck, you just really not something you want to do.
I wouldn't imagine so.
But I appreciate your patience, everybody. And again, you know, if you're at all interested, feel free to message me on Twitter, on Xbox, through the Xbox Club, and we'll get you in.
Sounds good. So yeah, make sure you check out our Xbox Club. You can head on over to podtackler.com/Xbox, and GT will be posting, looking for a group there, and that will be kind of the cue to actually get involved with Achieving Halo. That's going to be a wrap for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Remember, we are giving away Halo gear on every show until the end of the year. So if you want some chances to win some Halo gear and some Halo swag, then make sure you check our live shows. We will be giving some away during the holidays, so around Thanksgiving and around Christmas we will be doing some giveaways, but for sure we are doing giveaways on our live stream. So make sure you check us out normally on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Mixer. It's going to be a little kind of back and forth between Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday over the next couple of months just because of schedules and spending time with family and friends and all that stuff during the holidays. So bear with us as we're going and changing schedules. We'll post updates on Twitter primarily, and in our Discord, and sometimes on our Facebook page. But make sure you are just tuned in there and you'll be notified whenever we change schedules and whenever we plan on doing our shows. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We will catch you next time. Keep on fragging weapon tunings.